Hi, this is Pastor Billy Burke, and this is part two of a four-part series on how to keep your healing miracle. Remember, it's not what you get in life that counts, it's what you keep. It's not the experience that you had, but it's that experience that resonates in you to this day. There's a story in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 27, that the Bible says that after the children of Israel came through the Red Sea, you know, we all know that great story where they were trapped, seemingly no way out. And God commanded Moses to hold out the rod over the sea, and the waters parted. Oh, can you imagine what that looked like? And as those waters parted, walls of water, the Bible says that Moses began to take his people down in through the seabed and on dry ground. They began to go through that Red Sea out to the other side to their freedom. But wait a minute. After they were halfway through that Red Sea miracle, they heard a sound behind them, and lo and behold, here comes the Pharaoh's horsemen, his chariots, and they were catching up and chasing after the children of Israel. And after they got through the Red Sea, God commanded Moses, the same rod that opened the sea was now to close the sea. Hear me, child of God, hear me. This is such a very important part in helping you keep what you have received from the Lord. We all know that the waters were parted and they went through the Red Sea, but here's a very important part. God did not want to leave that back door open. And whenever you have a healing touch, whenever you're standing on the word for your miracle, I mean, whenever you've been to a meeting, you've had a prophecy, you've been anointed with oil, and the process has begun. I mean, the moment you reach out to touch the hem of the healer, let me tell you something, that process has begun. And whenever you do that, that's the moment you now want to begin to keep and maintain every ounce of progress. If you don't get the whole manifestation, you want to keep every ounce of progress. Progress is powerful. It's a courage builder. It's a confident booster. And whenever you get that initial touch, whenever you get the signs of that headache, that cancer, that pain, those symptoms on the run, whenever you begin to get a feel for that, and that begins to be a part of your faith walk, you want to not just get through it, but you want to turn around and close the back door. So important that you close the back door. Why? Because the devil's not impressed with God's power working in you. Do you hear what I said? The devil's been around the power of God since the beginning of time. And the fact that he would follow a people into the middle of their miracle, who in their right mind would follow a group of people into a Red Sea that's opening up with walls of water? Who would do such a crazy thing like that? Let me tell you who. The devil will. Because he has a history of human nature that all human nature cares about is just getting something, and they leave the back door open. I tell you today, listen to me, all hear what I'm about to say to you. The same Moses that opened the Red Sea, he closed the Red Sea. Closing the sea is just as important as opening the sea. And that verse is found in Exodus 14, 27. It says, Moses stretched the rod out, and the sea returned. And who was destroyed that day? The horsemen, the chariots, and the horses themselves. God let the miracle of the children of Israel become a graveyard to his enemy. Oh, did you hear what I said? God wants your miracle to become a graveyard to your enemy. In other words, he wants your miracle to settle the issue. Because in your lifetime, you're going to need multiple miracles. You're going to need miracles not just in your health, but in your money and in your family, just in life itself. And once you begin to learn that as God is moving and that as that miracle is manifesting, as that miracle is in motion, some miracles aren't instant, they're in motion. You know, and as that miracle is in motion, it's really, really important that you see, I have to protect my progress. If you have lost some weight and you want to lose some more weight, you want to protect the progress of the weight that you've lost. You know, anything that you have started, anything that God has started in you and through you, anything that the anointing, even as I'm speaking, he's working in you, you're seeing strides, maybe not as much as you'd like to see. But it's important that you hold the line. It's important that you maintain and protect that progress with an aggressive faith. And that means you're going to have to do what Moses did, and that is you're going to have to turn around and you're going to have to close the sea. Because what? The enemy will follow you. He will follow you. He will not be, you know, he's not going to be convinced that you got healed. He's not going to be convinced you can keep it. Especially if you got healed through somebody. If you got healed in a prayer meeting, in a crusade. If you got healed through people laying hands on you, putting oil on you. If you got healed through the doctors or through someone other professional help, then the devil's going to be very keen and aware that you didn't get that healing by yourself. So therefore, can you keep it by yourself? And he's going to test that. Because remember, the Bible says in John 10:10, God comes to give life and life more abundantly, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Notice what the first is. He comes to steal. He don't come to kill first. He comes to first steal, then kill, then destroy. He's a thief. When's the best time to steal something from a child of God? When's the best time for the enemy to come in and steal something in your life? He steals it whenever it is in seed form. It's infancy. You know, anybody can go dig up a seed. Even a little child can go dig up a seed out of the ground. But to pull out an oak tree, to pull out a big bush, after it has been rooted and grounded, is a whole nother issue. So really, when does the devil like to steal a miracle from you in your body? Right after it happens, or there shortly thereafter. He likes to come back in with a voice in your head. He likes to come back in with symptoms in your body. He likes to make you doubt and try to get you into unbelief, to question. He tries to bring a spirit of fear on top of you. And right here's where we've got to begin to step in and say, wait a minute, God has parted the waters. This miracle is in motion. The Holy Spirit has my hand, my best interests at heart. And the enemy's trying to steal the seed of the healing blessing out of my life. Oh, I tell you, that's what he wants to do. But can he do it? Only if you let him. Only if you are not aware of how aggressive he is in pursuing. You know, it just seemed like, well, Moses, they blew out of Egypt with the favor of God. Here comes all of the nation with him. They get by the Red Sea. It seems like that past problem that they had, that past bondage that they had, was over. The devil doesn't like to lose anything. He doesn't like to lose any hold that he's ever had on you. If you've had diabetes for years, cancer for years, bad eyes for years, and bad ears, if you've been on dialysis, if you've been on medication, you know, just so he can interrupt the quality of your life, he's thrilled. But let me tell you something. He doesn't want you getting healed. He hates God. He hates the blessings of God. He hates every Christian. He is a subverter of the truth. He is an underminer. He's a sabotager. He's a liar. And he wants to come in there and take away and destroy your faith. He wants to defame the name of Jesus in your life. He don't want you to trust God for this miracle that you're facing, because he knows that if you walk in the manifestation, oh, if what you're working in right now, then he knows that it's going to begin to build a living proof text line for the future, that you're going to be able to look back on that day and say, my God delivered me out of the paw of the bear, now the paw of the lion. You're going to build a whole repertoire of victory stories. He knows that. So he's going to work really, really hard at stealing that covenant seed, that seed of healing, that blessing out of your life, bringing on you fear, bringing on you the symptoms. And that's whenever you've got to understand, just because this miracle is in motion, just because things are taking a turn for the better, just because you stand in a complete manifestation, it isn't over yet. You now have to turn around and say, you know what? I'm going to close the back door. I'm going to stop him from following me into the middle of this miracle. I'm going to put a period to this. Now, how do we do that? How do we close that back door? You know, some people say, well, I don't know how to do that. What am I supposed to do? Some people say, you know, I'm so excited about what God's done for me. Don't talk to me about closing the back door. I want to relish this moment of victory. Let me tell you something. You never want to underestimate the enemy. Many a good people that were healed, many a good people that have had a powerful touch, have not done any due diligence in their life, have not, you know, stood firm, have not done warfare, and they've lost. They've absolutely lost. And there's nothing worse than losing what God gave you. It's very discouraging. It can set you back a long time. And so it's better to do this maintenance up front. It's better to realize I have to close the back door. I cannot let the enemy think he's just going to follow in behind this glorious experience. I can't let the enemy think that he's going to come in and interrupt my standing on the promise of God. I mean, my faith has locked in on something. I cannot even think that I'm going to, or let the devil think that he's going to just come in and change my mind about anything. My faith is stronger than that. So how do we do this? How do we close that back door? How can we take the percentages way down that we're going to lose anything that God has blessed us with? And I'm going to give you four of these today on this part two of this series. And number one is this: every healing touch that you receive, every manifestation of any degree of a miracle that you're receiving, it should be used in your life to bring you closer to the Lord. The whole purpose of God healing you is to bring you closer to Him. You know, not to get healed just to go, you know, do your job, not just get healed to feel better. But God wants you to give up, to surrender your life more and more as He showers you with His goodness. There's a story in the book of John about a man that laid by a pool for 38 years. He couldn't walk. He was crippled. What a devastating place to be for that long of his life. And one day Jesus came, and of course Jesus had an encounter with him, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and the man ended up getting completely healed. And Jesus told the man, "Rise, pick up your bed and walk." And as the man picked up his bed and began to walk away from that pool, all of the thousands of people around him began to scream, "Where are you going, crippled man? You can't carry your bed. It's the Sabbath day." And the crippled man, who now was a healed man, yelled back at the crowd, "The man that healed me is the same man that can tell me to rise, pick up my bed, and walk." In other words, this man was saying, "Hey, this guy healed me. He has power in my life. I'm going to listen to what he has to say. I want to yield myself more to a man that has shown power and love into my life." And that's what it is whenever God, one thing that closes the door on the enemy is whenever he sees that you're going to use your healing to get closer to the Lord. By closer, I mean getting in that atmosphere of the anointing, getting in that atmosphere in your church, in your car, you know, growing to be close to the one that loves you, that manifested his power towards you. You know, if you go to Florida, you won't find any icebergs floating in the ocean. And if you go to the Alaska, you won't find any palm trees growing in the dirt. It's because certain things grow in different atmosphere. And the atmosphere that you need to be in, the atmosphere that you need to place your body in, is an atmosphere where the anointing of the Holy Spirit is so strong. I'm telling you, just by sitting in the atmosphere where His Word is being preached, where the songs of praise and worship are being sung, where testimonies are going forth, just marinating in that atmosphere can help you close the back door and never again have to deal with what you had to deal with. Number two, an outward display of gratitude. An outward display of gratitude. Oh, I can't tell you how much gratitude goes a long, long way in touching God's heart and in nauseating the devil. Every time you offer up, "Lord, I thank you, I praise you." You know, it's something that should be verbal. It's something that should be, you know, visible. You know, we live in such an, you owe me generation. Today, there's never been a time before of all people of every tribe and kindred feel entitlement to something. And I want to tell you something. God has already paid the price. The ransom note has been paid. He doesn't owe us anything anymore. We owe Him. We owe Him everything. And one of the things that will help you close that back door and keep those demons from coming in and stealing the seed of the healing blessing is whenever you begin to be much more verbal and much more ingratiated, and you begin to send up a praise of thanksgiving. You're so thankful, and you let them know it. You know, it's not like somebody gave you something and you send them one thank you card and that's all you have to send them. No, it's a daily thing. I mean, how grateful are you that he took away the pain? He took away the disease. He spared your life. He gave you a new lease on life. He delivered you from this. He delivered you from that. Oh, it's worth more than one prayer. It's a daily thing. You know, it's a weekly thing. It's a regular thing where you become now not just what I'm grateful for this moment, but now you have a grateful spirit. There's a difference between just being grateful for a specific thing instead of having gratitude in your spirit. When gratitude gets inside of your spirit, you begin to realize how big God is, how good God is, how faithful God is, and you let him know that. Kind of like the 10 lepers. You know, the 10 lepers that were healed? Remember, 10 were healed, but only one was made whole. You know, leprosy had a way of eating away your bones, eating away your limbs. Many of those lepers, you know, had no toes, had no fingers. Some of them had no arms. Some of them had stubs. You know, some of them had no eye sockets. Leprosy was a horrific disease. And so whenever the 10 were healed, they were going away. But one said, I'm going to go back and thank him for what he did. The Bible says when that one went back, that he was made whole. What does that mean? It means that he was not just healed of the disease, but his fingers grew out. His stubs grew back. There was no symptom or sign of anything. The other nine, they went back to their city healed, but they were still missing fingers. They were still had stubs. They still had all of the markings of someone that had had leprosy. But the one that went back and said, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor. I give you place. I give you glory. The Bible says he went away whole. Meaning what? He went back to the same town, only he had not a sign, not a scar, not a symptom on his whole body. Oh, the power of gratitude. And I'm saying to you that as you begin to lift up your voice, it doesn't have to be loud, does not have to be loud. You know, it can be soft, just so it's sincere, just so it's coming from your heart. You know, we thank people for so many things. We thank people for, you know, fixing our yard. We thank people for loaning us something that we need in the house. And we thank people for this and we thank people for that. And, oh, I'm telling you, that's all good and that should take place. But let me tell you, when you thank the Master, when you thank the Master, the Lord of all, and when something comes up out of you and says, Jesus, I want to thank you. I want to tell you something. Things happen. I'm telling you, demons are shut down. I'm telling you what, devils are silenced. I'm telling you what, the claws of the evil one are held back from you. Continue to praise him. Continue to thank him in song, in word, in attitude. And when you have a moment, tell somebody, I'm just thankful to God. They don't have to know all the details, you know, but in your heart, whenever you say that, in your heart, you know why you're thankful. You know what he's done. And every time you verbalize that, you're closing that back door. You're keeping those demons from coming through the middle of your miracle and stopping you in the midst of the sea. You're closing it and you're making it a graveyard. Give him gratitude. Give him praise. Choose to be the one that's made whole. You know, that one that was made whole never had to deal with symptoms again. Unlike the other nine who looked and saw stubs and, yeah, the disease had stopped. It had been arrested. It had been remissed. It had been healed. But guess what? They still had the memory. The guy that was made whole, man, he forgot all about it because he was what? He was so healed and made whole. He forgot all about it. And he had to remind himself, man, I used to be so bad. I used to have no fingers, no toes. Oh, my, no ears. Oh, God, you're amazing. And it just continued to build and swell that spirit of gratitude and praise that's in his life. Number three, engage in the spiritual warfare. You know, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians that says that let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You know, whenever you get a healing touch, your body, what you say is a witness. Now, the Word of God says you're already healed. Now, that's a witness. Holy Ghost says you're healed. He's a witness. You know, but your body and your symptoms are crying out, saying, and the enemy's crying out, saying, you're not, and you're not, and you're not. And sometimes your body is saying, you're not, and you're not, and you're not. You want to make sure that you that lives in your body doesn't come in agreement with your body, but you come in agreement with the Holy Ghost, and you come in agreement with the written word. See, whenever you come in agreement with the word, that's the two that's touching anything. That's the two or more. You begin to establish what? You begin to establish a healing contract. You know, it's so important that you realize that sometimes you're going to have to fight to keep what you got. It ain't going to be easy, but it's going to be right. You know, and there's going to be a warfare going on in your mind. The enemy's going to want to try and talk to you and say, you're really not. You're really not. Sometimes through your friends and through your family, they're going to say, are you sure you're okay? Are you sure you don't want to take that medicine? Are you sure you don't want to use that walker? Are you sure you don't need those hearing aids? I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of people around you because it's not them. They love you. They're sincerely, you know, encouraging of you. But sometimes their faith isn't where it needs to be, and they just don't say the right thing. And if you're not careful, they can be such a source of discouragement to your faith. You need to realize you're going to have to do warfare. The Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And how do those powers work? They come through the media, right through your television. You're watching the television, and the television anchor man is saying, one out of every three women, one out of every four men. You know, there's a virus spreading. If you have this, if you have that. I mean, the enemy can use just something as simple as a newscast. You're sitting in the dentist's office waiting to get your tooth worked on. You pick up a magazine. Something as simple as a magazine, a spirit of fear can jump on that. You can run into somebody on the subway in an airport, and they can tell you, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, they died of this. And you're thinking, dear God, that's the same thing I just got healed of. The devil's going to always be looking to plant seeds in your mind of doubt. He's always going to be trying to do that. And that's whenever you just can't have a passive approach. You can't just have a passive mind. You can't just say, well, I can't believe the enemy's hitting me that hard. God, where are you? No, God said he wants you to fight. And that's whenever you have to rise up and you have to declare in the name of Jesus, you can't root in me. Doubt and unbelief, you can't root in me. I've been touched by the Master. I got healed. I've been standing on the Word of God. You've got to be adamant. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to be sure. You've got to be fully persuaded. Because the enemy can be pretty convincing. I mean, he can really bring back a symptom that makes it look like, you know, nothing ever happened. And all it takes is a few other people around you to question what happened. All it takes is a magazine, a broadcast, some television somewhere. All it takes is a few circumstances around you to begin to shake you out of what God has actually done, what you're still standing for, and you got to have zero tolerance. You've got to say, I'm going to close the back door on this. I know on the verse I'm standing. I know on the prophecy in which I'm believing. I know what power went through me when I got that prayer. Oh, I know the pain that began to leave. I was not imagining that. And you've got to begin to say, in the name of Jesus. You've got to use his name. You've got to use his name because everything that comes through your eye gate, everything that comes through your ear gate, those are the two avenues in which the enemy wants to really come in and try his best to plant bad seed. Your eye gate and your ear gate. Do you hear me? Everything you're looking at. And that's why it's really important that you make a covenant with your eyes, that you're not going to set your eyes on anything that would give the enemy room to steal and destroy the work that God has started. And anything that you give ear to, sometimes you're going to have to remove yourself from conversations. Sometimes you're going to have to remove yourself from something you're hearing on television or over your PC, your computer. Sometimes you're, and it may be family. They may not even be trying to put a bad seed in you. But people are just where they are. You know, people just reflect the level of faith that they have. And sometimes they're just not, you know, where you need them to be. So are they hurting you? Yes. Is it on purpose? No. But that still doesn't mean you allow those seeds to be planted. You've either got to remove yourself so you don't hear that or see that, or you've got to begin to say in the name of Jesus, underneath your breath, in the name of Jesus, that seed is not going to take root in my heart. You can't let the bear get inside the cabin. You know, let the bear be outside the cabin. Let the bear roar. Let the bear growl. Let the bear put his paw on your door and bang it. But as long as the bear is on the outside of the cabin, you're going to be okay. And the same is true. Let the seeds of doubt and fear and skepticism, let them bang on your door. Let them roar outside your spirit. See, that spirit you, that sanctuary that you have inside your heart, you cannot let anything get inside of there and begin to mix up the faith and the touch and the word and the anointing and the blessing, you know, the progress that we talked about. You can't let that get, you know, sabotaged. You've got to protect that sanctuary. You've got to make sure that you're keeping everything negative, everything mixed, everything so-so outside the door of your sanctuary. Bear outside the cabin. Negative, pessimism, bad report, outside my sanctuary. Keep it on the outside. And as you make an effort to do that, how do you do that? You say, in the name of Jesus, I am not going to, I don't believe that. I don't receive that. He's not talking to me. I remove myself from that statistic. I'm not a statistic. I refuse to be in a secular statistic. I refuse to be counted in the number of 1 out of 4, 2 out of 5, 6 out of 10, people over 50, people under 40. We are not a part of that system. You are part of Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. By his stripes, you are healed. You're a part of a system of Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon, none, no weapon that the enemy is trying to form against you is going to have any lasting impact. It's not going to prosper against you. You are part of 2 Timothy 1:7. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You want to make sure that as you do warfare, as you remove the wrong seed, that is what? The wrong seed is corruptible. It is meant to corrupt you. But what did the Bible say in Peter? That what? He said, we have a seed that is incorruptible. Do you hear me? We have a seed that is, you cannot corrupt it. Once God's healing word gets inside of you, I'm telling you, it cannot be corrupted. It can be stolen, but it cannot be corrupted. Oh, I'll tell you, this is so powerful. These all are the actions that will begin to close that back door over your life and continue to keep that miracle in motion to get rooted and grounded, stronger, to become a force in your life. See, the miracle isn't supposed to just be something that you get and that you have. It's supposed to become a defining part of your personality, a defining part of the assignment that God has for your life, a defining part of the purpose of who you are and why you're here, to be a trophy of His grace and to display the faithfulness of Calvary, of the blood of Jesus, of His everlasting covenant to you on this planet Earth. Oh, give Him praise today. And number four, I can't say enough about number four. One of the great ways, it's so simple to begin to shut down the enemy and close that back door, is to begin to be a testifier. I mean, to begin to proclaim, to begin to share your testimony about what God has done completely, or even about what's in process. You know, there's a verse in Philemon, verse 6, that says this, by the communication, by acknowledging every good thing that God's doing in you and has done in you, the communication of your faith becomes effective. It means that when you begin to acknowledge what God has been doing in you, he healed you, He delivered you, I mean, the miracle you received, the Bible says that the communication of your faith becomes effective. I mean, that means whenever you begin to share, demons tremble. Demons back down. It means that hungry hearts that need a miracle themselves begin to awaken and say, hey, I need that. I mean, when you begin to share, God says, I'm going to make your faith communicate. I'm going to make the dark kingdom shake in their shoes. I'm going to make those in need gravitate towards you. I'm going to make the heart of God be glorified. I'm going to cause the angels to see how faithful this child of God is. I mean, all kind of things begin to happen whenever you begin to acknowledge that healing touch, when you begin to acknowledge that healing that you're standing on the Word of God for. Because the Bible says what? When you confess Him before men, He'll confess you before the Father. Now, that verse is always used for salvation. It's always used at an altar call somewhere or in a crusade. And if you confess, but really that verse is talking about much more than just salvation. That's a favor verse. It's a verse about divine favor. You know, Jesus was saying, whenever you go public about me, you know, in any way, whenever you go public about me, about a healing you received or a monetary blessing you got, or how God opened this door and closed that door and how God spared your life, anytime you are acknowledging, you know, Jesus publicly, He said, my Father will confess you. When you confess me before men, my Father will confess you. Ola, I'll tell you what. What's that saying? God's going to unleash an avalanche of favor like you've never seen. A new season of favor coming your way. A new season of favor coming your way. You say, yeah, but I don't want to share my testimony because I want to make sure that I'm completely healed. No, 1,000 times no. No, 1,000 times no. You don't have to wait for it to be done. You know, you need to testify right now that it has already begun and you're trusting Him for the rest. You know, if the pain is 70% gone, then you say, I thank Him. I want to testify the pain in my body is 70% and I'm trusting Him for the other 30. I want to thank Him today that, you know, He brought me through the treatment and I'm just trusting Him to abbreviate the rest of the treatment. It's important that you acknowledge the part that's already been done. Don't wait till it's complete. Do not wait till it's all finished. Let people see the miracle, you know, while you're in it. When they see you testify while you're in it, I mean, I'm telling you what, that drives the devil crazy. Because he's hoping that you think the other way. He's hoping you think, well, I'll wait. That gives him more time to attack you. That gives him more time to steal the seed. But whenever you begin to say, I thank God for what He's already done. I thank Him for the 10% that I got. I thank Him for the, I feel stronger. I thank You right now. My eyes are a little bit better. Whenever you begin to thank Him, you begin to just, what I say, you begin to drive that seed deeper into the ground of your life. Oh, hallelujah. And the devil just begins to realize, oh my, I'm losing this one. Don't wait. Share what little has happened. Share what a lot has happened. But begin to share the story of what God has been doing in you, healing you, delivering you, setting you free. You say, but I would share that, Pastor Billy, but I'm kind of ashamed. I don't want everyone to know that I've had a disease of reproach. Well, I don't want them to particularly know the bondage that I've been in. And so I just kind of say, yeah, God's been good to me. No, listen to me. Get past that. How can you help other people who are in some of the same situations that you're in? Sure, there's a lot of things that are embarrassing. There's a lot of people that don't want anyone to know that they suffer with an STD, you know, sexually transmitted disease. There's some people don't want them to know that they have cancer, that they're in treatment. There's some people that don't want people to know that they've had surgery. You know, there's all different levels of what people feel very ashamed about. But listen to me. Even Jesus Himself didn't get out of this world without being marked. He was marked. He was scratched. When He hung on Calvary, ladies and gentlemen, He looked a mess. He looked like a piece of raw hamburger. He looked horrible. You know, what I'm saying is if He didn't escape without being touched, and the Bible says even in the new city, in the new heaven, new earth, that He's the Lamb as one slain in the middle of our candlesticks. All through eternity, He bears those marks to remind us, you know, that the devil put a mark on Him, but He overcame that mark. So if Jesus Himself got marked, it's no great wonder that everyone else on the planet is going to receive some kind of battle scars. We're going to have some things take place. And we've got to realize one of the ways we can close that back door forever is by not being ashamed after what God has done in our life. You know, the greater the glory is that you awaken and say, yeah, what's happened to me, I'm not that thrilled about. Yeah, it does bring a little bit of shame into my life. But I'll tell you what, I realize now that the greater part of this is by getting victory and letting people know that, hey, the devil put his mark on me, but God came and took that mark away. All the people that you will help needless to say, you yourself, you will help. And it's very, very important that you understand that that testimony is so. You say, yeah, but Pastor Billy, that's not my personality. You know, that's not my personality. I'm kind of quiet. Listen to me. Cancer is not quiet. Drug addiction is not quiet. You know, disease and pain and arthritis, Alzheimer's, this stuff is for keeps. It's for real. It is not quiet. You have to be a voice. God's looking for a voice. He's looking for you no longer to be a prisoner to your personality. You may be quiet here and quiet there, but one place that we've got to be very forthright, one place we've got to come out in the open. What did he say? If you walk in the light as I'm in the light, we have got to let other people know that we've been delivered of something. There's a song that says, the hold the devil had on me, he don't got no more. People may be surprised that for a moment to think that you had this problem or that problem, but they won't think on that long because you won't dwell on that part of it. The part you're going to dwell on is, he set me free. His stripes healed me. His presence set me free. I'm no longer there, and I'm no longer that person. Let's look at all four of these again. Number one, let the touch of God, the healing of God, bring you closer to him. Stay in that atmosphere. Number two, have an outward display of gratitude. Let it not just be something you're thanking him for this moment, but let gratitude get into your spirit where it becomes a daily process of you giving him honor and glory. Engage in warfare. Make up your mind that you're not going to let anything just come in there and root, and you're not going to be passive about it, but you're going to rise up and protect everything that God's done for you. And you're going to say in the name of Jesus, that cannot take root in me. And number four, to testify. Oh, to proclaim, to say, look what the Lord has done. You know, I think of John chapter 9, whenever the Sanhedrin was so afraid the blind man was going to testify. And they went to his parents. His parents said, he's of age, ask him. And they went to him and said, did Jesus do this thing? And he said, yes, he did. And the Pharisees were so upset, they said, you give God the praise. Not Jesus, but give God the praise. And the blind man said, I don't know what I'm saying. All I know is I was blind, now I see. And it was Jesus that did it. And then they kicked him. They ostracized him out of the synagogue. I'm telling you, your testimony is a threat. It's a lethal weapon. Begin to share today. Begin to listen to these four points. Marinate them and meditate on them and get them into your spirit. Because this is how you close the back door. Just because you stand up today and say, I closed that back door, doesn't make it so. But if you begin to testify, if you begin to be grateful, if you begin to surrender your life more to the Holy Spirit and to the work and to the service of the Lord, you know, if you begin to rise up and say, I will not tolerate any of those things coming into my mind, if you begin to take these simple actions, I'm telling you, you will, not maybe, you will close that back door. You will cause the water of affliction to be returned back over. And guess what? The same way that the chariots and the horsemen and the army were floating on that Red Sea, the enemy that had a hold of you will be floating dead on the sea of your life. I thank God that we are able to keep everything that we capture. I thank him today that when God starts something in your life, his whole intention is to finish and complete what he has started. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident that the work which he has started in us, he will complete it until the day of Jesus. Father, I pray today for every ear listening, for every heart of faith, that your power, that your awesome keeping power of the Holy Spirit would cause faith to arise inside of each person, and that God, as they begin to applicate and as they begin to apply these principles, that the waters would begin to come back over their enemy, and that the miracle that you have started will be maintained. It will be kept. The enemy may follow them into the middle of this miracle, but it will be to his demise, not the child of God's demise. I just thank you now, Jesus, for them being able to keep everything they've captured. In Jesus' name, amen.